right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another fantastic episode of the Meraki Unboxed podcast. And I am one of your co-hosts, Tanner Yalick. And today I am here in the San Francisco office wishing we could have the Meraki Unboxed outside episode because it is gorgeous out here today. It is beautiful, sunny, but today we are joined by the fantastic Kevin Regan. Kevin, go ahead and say hi.
Hello, Tanner. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for joining me. So, Kevin, why don't you give us a little background about what you do here at Cisco at Meraki?
Thanks, Tanner. I do two things. I lead a group that focuses on cloud management of Catalyst switches. So we have some customers that have been using Catalyst switches that they migrate from sort of standalone mode into Meraki cloud management. And we now have a range of Catalyst switches that customers can order and they come up cloud native Meraki managed. And then the second thing I focus on is security. So micro segmentation is a big topic for me and a number of security features that get used across Meraki switching and wireless too.
Fantastic. And from that introduction, if you couldn't tell, today's episode is about Catalyst and Meraki, more specifically, the new 9300M switches. So, Kevin, what can you tell us about the new Catalyst 9300M?
So the Dash M's, as I come to call them, allow customers to have native cloud management, so a complete Meraki user experience out of the box, but taking advantage of the latest and greatest hardware developments that come from Catalyst platforms. So really being able to put in my case, like access to the latest security features, but also other sustainability features that are built into the hardware. And we just want customers who love cloud management to be able to access them quicker and get immediate access to the latest hardware developments that come from Mother Cisco.
True integration of the Catalyst hardware into the Meraki dashboard, which is, I know that's something that we have been working on for a while and looking towards the future, we definitely needed to keep pushing into it. So I'm so glad that we are releasing some more devices that really give people a lot more options to fit their need, especially for the increased traffic that we're expecting in the future, which you talked about in the blog. So what, other than the Meraki dashboard, what are some of the new features that customers will be able to take advantage of that they wouldn't necessarily have been able to have before?
So my favorite topic is, I describe it as identity-based micro-segmentation. So in terms of how it's referenced in dashboard, customers know it as adaptive policy. So this does some really neat things. So this allows us to classify things like IoT devices, users into roles, and then be able to enforce policy based on these logical roles. So in a world where segmentation has tended to mean downloading IP-based access control lists that, you know, really are just referencing everything by the like address, the way something's connected to the network as opposed to its role. So we have IP ACLs, we have dynamic VLAN assignments, but these are all really limited in terms of how powerful the features can be used. And they're also complicated to roll out, manage. And if we're looking at the proliferation of IoT devices, there's an awful lot of IoT devices that don't like having their IP address changed. They don't like being shoved into a different VLAN. So yeah, that can have a can have a nasty habit of like powering down your badge reader or a security camera when that happens. So So there's a number of things that we can do with this micro-segmentation concept that are very powerful, work very high performance, and address some very interesting use cases.
Fantastic, because it definitely seems that switches over time have gone from doing one specific thing to doing multiple things. Now we have security features built in, and I know that adaptive policy is something that my team has been working on as well. You know, more to come in the future. So with instead of the software or pivoting off of the software, what about hardware? What can people expect to see with the performance?
So they can see a number of things. So we've got a range of power over Ethernet capabilities that are kind of new to Meraki, really. So for customers that care about what we might refer to as smart buildings, the kind of ability to deliver higher power output. So if people want to run chains of lighting and have those delivered through a switch, UPoE Plus, as we call it, Universal Power of Ethernet. So these are kind of new hardware capabilities. So for people that really do care about smart buildings, meaning they look at sustainability overall, and they've got the opportunity in some building refresh to put in effectively technology that will reduce power outage overall. So this is something that we can do with the new Dash M's very effectively. So there's lots of sustainability options that come from them. So we're taking advantage of the hardware capabilities that come from Catalyst, but combining them with sustainability features we have in dashboard. So if people want to be able to use port schedules, so that there's some things that do not need to be powered up at certain times of the day or days of the week or periods, these are all things that can be centrally controlled from dashboard and give customers much better visibility into power utilization overall, and maybe saving power ultimately. So there's some hardware developments like that. And then the micro segmentation stuff, that is my favorite subject that I mentioned earlier. The kind of the role-based segmentation works at wire rate on every interface in a Dash M Catalyst. So for people that have concerns about putting security controls in place, they may have legitimate concerns about blocking traffic and things, but often performance and system resources are top of mind for people, and customers are quite nervous about introducing things when they've got a high performance, highly available network. But line rate performance on every interface in the box kind of means a degree of confidence that people can have that they're not going to be introducing bottlenecks, they're not going to reduce the overall performance of the network, and they shouldn't be reducing the availability either in the process. So the platforms we're talking about give us more capabilities in terms of redundant power, both working across a stack, as we call it, and also being able to use things like redundant power even in the switch chassis itself, if that's appropriate. So lots of new things for people to use, Tanner.
And so we are looking at, in terms of the PoE that it can provide, it's at 90 watt UPoE, correct?
That's right, yes.
Awesome. So it can provide a lot more power, but is also focused on being sustainable and managing that power better.
Yes, yeah. And that higher power, there's an awful lot of IoT devices don't need anything like that. But when customers get into looking at things like lighting and not just looking at the power, actually kind of saving time and effort, minimizing cable runs to put lighting across the floor of a building, that's when the capabilities come into their own. So being able to power everything, but also greater density of lighting and reducing cabling, reducing install time, effort, cost, these all factor in.
Mm-hmm. And with that increase in the number of devices, we're also going to see a increase in the amount of traffic. And so this device, the Catalyst hardware, is very good at offering performance. And so it looks like you guys are looking at you have done high density M-gig and fiber options, right?
Yep. Yeah, really important. And that's important for the new capabilities we're talking about. But, you know, a lot of the time, the switches are supporting user connectivity over Wi-Fi. And for people that care about Wi-Fi 6E or looking at Wi-Fi 7, yeah, low latency and higher throughput matters for the user connectivity there too. So these are all things that, well supported in the Cat 9K-Ms.
Awesome. It is, and I just got to say, I think I've said this before in this episode probably, but it's awesome to see the Catalyst hardware that everyone loves coming onto the Meraki dashboard and having that single pane of glass of management. So I know that we are very excited to see that. So you were talking a bit about smart buildings, and I know that we have some smart building technology here in this office. And in the blog that I read about the 9300Ms, that IoT devices are expected to grow by 50% by 2027, so only a couple of years away. So you've addressed this slightly, but maybe you can give us some more. How does the new portfolio help customers address this influx? So you mentioned Wi-Fi 7 and Wi-Fi 6E is increasing the amount of traffic, allowing the number of devices to connect to the network. How does the new portfolio help customers address that influx?
A number of ways. So an important part of sustainability is to be able to consolidate as much of the network connectivity as possible. So with higher density interfaces, with the new platforms we've got, we're very efficient in terms of usage. But also it's pretty important if people are consolidating historically what might have been separate networks for building management or security cameras or other purposes, you know, related to sustainability. The ability to apply logical security features matters a lot. Some of the IoT devices that customers may be using, often they're using general purpose OSs, but they're not always patched in the same way that a user system would. So what does this mean? Well, if we're trying to protect vulnerable systems and we want to make sure that uncontrolled user devices and other things cannot communicate with them, then the security features matter a lot, because what can we do to protect a vulnerable IoT device? Well, we use the network to protect it and limit what can access it. One of the more interesting ransomware attacks over recent years started through a thermometer in a fish tank on display in a casino.
I remember hearing about that.
Yeah, so being able to protect that from other systems is the kind of thing that we do with micro-segmentation, with adaptive policy. And as I understand that particular example, that thermometer exfiltrated like 10 gig of data over a period of time, which is highly unusual for a thermometer. But these are the kind of things, these are
patterns. Just a little bit.
Yeah. But with some of the kind of capabilities we have in the platforms now, so we refer to SDAVC and NetFlow functions. These are sort of analytics functions we have so that we can produce rich data from the switches to allow things like anomalous activity to be worked out. So these all kind of matter when it comes to protecting vulnerable systems and making sure that it is safe enough for customers to consolidate the building management, the security cameras, all of these different purposes onto a common network architecture without, without degrading security and without any degradation in performance.
Because the biggest benefit to security in a network is keeping everything separated, for sure. And so, what are some of the challenges network and security teams face when it comes to securing that network? Now, you mentioned micro-segmentation and keeping everything separated, but how does the Catalyst 9300M continue to improve upon that?
So the major thing we do with the approach we take is we make things easy to deploy and use because we're kind of separating the security functions from the underlying network design. So you go into dashboard, you start to put security or access control policies in place that work entirely based on the groups and roles of systems and nothing to do with the underlying network topology, the IP address space, the VLANs, etc. So there's significant benefits in terms of simplicity, and you know that saves time and effort. And also, it's pretty important in security for things to be easily and readily understood. We don't want complicated policies. We want to be able to show stakeholders exactly visually how things are protected and how systems can communicate. So being able to avoid the obscurity of complex access control lists, firewall rules, etc. is really important. And although we're talking particularly about switches here, the features work seamlessly with the rest of the cloud managed infra from Meraki. So all of the security functions I'm talking about work very neatly on MR and also play nicely with MX. So good integration on like multiple product levels. Where things get connected to our platforms, you'll find improvements in how we classify the devices that are connecting over time, giving you visuals, better topology awareness, and better understanding we can give admin and our users of their environment, what's connected and how they're communicating.
Fantastic. And so can you give our listeners a little more information about adaptive policy? I know that for some people, they've been involved in it for a long time, but for some listeners, this may be a new term that they're hearing.
So it really uses functions that we call security group tags that are built into many Cisco products and are now supported by other vendors too. In a previous stint at Cisco, I was involved in a group where we got permission to open some of this technology so that other vendors could implement, and delighted to see that's happening. So the security group tags or SGT functions, these are the key enabler of the topology independent access controls and segmentation. They also simplify things like firewall rules a lot, because if we classify something and put something into a group or a bucket that makes sense to a customer, they get to use it for my security features on switches, wireless. They also get to see the same logical construct appear on firewalls from multiple vendors if they're using them, not just Cisco. And there's interesting features that can be used in some places to do not just security, other controls. So we kind of find this really effective for dealing with problems like lateral movement. And what I mean by lateral movement is if you and I, Tanner, we were both in your warm, sunny office as opposed to my grey, miserable one in London. We could be, trusted users because we're employees on a trusted device like that Cisco IT are happy with. And historically, it's really difficult for people to safely control how user devices in the access layer of the network can or cannot communicate. So once you normally put into a VLAN, you can talk to everything else in the VLAN. Even if that VLAN's access is restricted in terms of what it can access in the data center. If we've got an employee VLAN in two different wiring closets or two different buildings, the IP-based controls to limit how they would be able to communicate are really, really complicated and unusable, really, for most customers. So being able to put a really simple policy in place that says employees on trusted devices talking to other employees on trusted devices can, like, use these voice video collaboration protocols and nothing else is incredibly powerful. And to many customers, this is one of the things that is an important part of restricting, you know, the impact of ransomware in their environment. So with network-based means like adaptive policy, we're not necessarily going to stop you getting infected when you're in a coffee shop with your laptop. Mm-hmm. When you're back in the building and your compromised machine, you know, we can very, very easily, safely be restricting naturally how it communicates with other similar user devices and mm-hmm. Prevents you compromising video systems or anything else that would be in the environment. So this is really important for many customers, and it deals with some problems that have been historically very difficult to tackle or mm-hmm. just not practical to try and tackle. So this is important, you know, for reducing risk in lots of organizations, reducing the blast radius of an attack, and giving some very effective means that work on, you know, switches, platforms of different shapes and sizes. So the degree of consistency we can give, the time and effort saving in implementing these controls, it's I might be biased, but I think it's really powerful stuff.
It is extremely powerful.
Yeah, and in the Meraki sort of switch range, we've only had these capabilities on one single product family. And with what you see us doing with unified platforms, as I might refer to them, or the catalyst-based functions, this just means, you know, the vast majority of what customers are now taking from us is capable of doing this right now. So makes it much more broadly applicable and means the kind of controls are available to many more customers. Mm-hmm. And I might be talking about it like dealing with difficult problems like malware and lateral movement, but there's lots of other kind of things you can do. So we have some customers that really like the simplicity of how they can use our like micro segmentation functions to meet a compliance requirement. And there's lots of like network mechanisms like ACLs, VLAN assignments that people have not historically used for challenging compliance requirements because they're kind of complicated. And if you depend on understanding the configuration in 100 switches to understand what's going on and do you comply, that's challenging for most people. It's not practical. But if mm-hmm. we give you one place in dashboard to view how your point of sale systems can talk to a PCI zone in your data center, or how we control access to that zone from auditors, these are things that the simplicity of the policy model and the fact that, you know, we've got very effective filtering works at line rate means, yeah, retailers, manufacturers that care about DFARS compliance. There's lots of different vertical industries that all have different compliance kind of goals, needs. And
there's a lot of use cases. There's a lot of use cases for all of these and all of the new features that come with it.
Yes. Yeah. So it's not just about blocking the bad stuff. We can do some pretty, you know, business relevant enablement functions that simplify how people meet some of these compliance goals and help them, you know, meet them more quickly.
Mm-hmm. And while some of the use cases that you've described may seem complex to someone who's just listening to it, keep in mind that you're doing all of this through the Meraki dashboard, which historically has always aimed to simplify everything. We always try to simplify everything here. So while the use case may sound complex, you still have the Meraki dashboard to learn it on, which definitely reduces the difficult learning curve that you may have seen on some of these things in the past.
Yes, yeah, and it's hard to describe the policy visualization. So yeah, we're using some complicated words, but what's in the user interface makes it very, very clear and simple to understand how we're restricting things and what we're allowing to communicate.
Mm-hmm. And so you've talked about the configuration and what can be done. What kind of alerting is coming with this? So if something is, if the switches were to catch something that violates the security policy that you've configured, are there alerts available to send an email out to the IT team or the security team? Hey, this is happening and here it is.
Yeah, there's a whole host of things we get to do. And there's some very interesting visualizations of some of the events and activity that we'll be showing, hopefully next month, he says, touching wood. So to make it really easy to understand how things are communicating, what's being blocked. And so there's like things that are directly in dashboard that help you understand this. And I'd kind of say some of this is not just important for looking at events after an event. This actually helps you put granular controls in place. You know, customers are always very concerned about introducing security controls and avoiding, you know, negative impact, making sure they're not going to block any legitimate traffic. So the same functions, the same user experience we put in to show what we block, to show the events, is also really useful for putting the right controls in place in the first time. So there's a lot you'll see from dashboard directly, but there's also other security tools we can communicate and generate log messages to. So whatever customers have in their security stack, you know, we'll give them the functions in Security Center and dashboard. But if there's third-party tool or other Cisco tools that we're going to send data to, they help with more of the ability to respond. And we have things that, you know, the some interesting use cases where we implement with things like Cisco's ICE communicating with dashboard. Like we do things like use cases like rapid threat containment. So there's the proactive east-west lateral movement controls we put in place, but there's also things that where something's gone wrong, we've got additional hooks and mechanisms for customers to be able to respond very quickly and without the manual and challenging effort of working out quickly where a problem is and what steps can they take to deal with it. This is very much stuff we give you ways to visualize and the controls at your fingertips, and there's no ambiguity about like where this device is and what the action would be.
Fantastic. And so let's say we have a customer that has already looked into adaptive policy or may be actually attempting to configure it right now. What kind of tips or best practices would you recommend that they follow?
So this is all about simplicity. So one of the first things is really to think carefully about what your critical assets are, as we might say this side of the pond, your crown jewels. and use these security groups, these security group tags, to describe them. So focus on what's most important, critical, or use cases where people are putting a lot of time and effort. You know, so if there's a high operational effort around some aspects of traditional segmentation, well, just start first, and you can start pretty small with security group tags. So there's no, you know, some historic segmentation mechanisms you tend to build into switch configurations, and that might only be practical when there's a new building or a refresh. But with what we do from dashboard, it's really easy to start small, add incremental policies, and yeah, deploy for different use cases over time. And I generally kind of suggest to people apply some mental stamina to make sure that you don't create unnecessary numbers of things. That's not a problem for our technology at all. but it just becomes more complicated for humans to understand and manage.
The old way of doing everything manually is out. For sure.
Yes.
So you recommend starting small and then moving outwards and trying not to create too many of something. Too many micro segments might not be helpful to what you're trying to do, correct?
Yes. Yes. And there's been examples. I've had workshops with customers over time where they've had an expectation of they need thousands of these objects. And at the end of a whiteboard session, there's been examples where, okay, they've decided 11 or 15 because the policy problems they had don't need that many.
I wasn't too far off. I was going to guess 10.
Yeah. But and it doesn't matter if they double it really doesn't matter the numbers. It's just keep it simple.
Fantastic. Keep it simple. Something that we always like to think about here at Meraki, or at least that's what people keep reminding me. Keep it simple. So, Kevin, thank you very much for joining us on today's episode. It has been extremely enlightening talking to you about the 9300s, and I can't wait to see how they do. And I hope that every listener that has listened today gives adaptive policy some consideration. It is a very powerful tool, as Kevin has described, for security and networking and keeping your network safe. So think about adaptive policy. Think about all of the things that the Catalyst 9300M switches can do and see maybe that could work for you. Maybe that can help you improve your network and keep everyone safe, as well as all of those very security-sensitive devices. Keep your business and keep your people safe from bad actors. Alrighty, once again, everyone, thank you for tuning in. Kevin, thank you again for joining us.
My pleasure.
I hope you all have a wonderful day.